Once upon a time. All the best stories start like that, don't they? So, once upon a time, I lived in the little village of Little Sandhurst in Berkshire. And we had a beautiful but small south-facing garden. And in the garden was an overgrown vine. Now, that's quite unusual in England. It's usually too cold. But we had a vine, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and no one touched it, and it grew so much that it choked all the other plants around it. And so one day, I decided to ask a friend to prune it and some other plants in the garden whilst I was at work. I came home to a veritable scene of destruction. It looked as if a helicopter had landed in the garden with its blades still running, and I was horrified. Well, gradually I got used to it, and I could see the plants and the vine began to flourish again, and the whole thing looked much better. And then, alleluia, in the autumn, the vine produced some fruit. And not just some, lots. It was dripping with large bunches of grapes, and I was able to take them, some of them, to our harvest festival. So that's my story. Now, I know that there are many gardeners amongst you, and you will know the value of pruning. There is no doubt that with good pruning, the plant will thrive and produce fruit and will continue to flourish. Well, the gospel we've heard today is probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. I am the vine. And we can all see in our mind's eye the picture that it paints of the vine with many branches. But behind it, there's something rather frightening. For who is not afraid of the pruner's knife? And who is not afraid of the surgeon's knife? But when I read this passage, I don't hear words of brutality. I hear words of love. I do not hear all that frightening stuff about withering away or being burnt. What I hear is the urgency of Jesus in his pleas to his friends. He's saying, "For my sake, if you love me, please listen to me. It's really important, the difference between life and death. I can promise you everything if you listen to me." He's actually saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life." That is his promise. And it's such a huge promise. So how can that be? How can he make such a promise, such a statement? And what do we have to do? Well, I'll leave that with you for a moment whilst I tell you something about baptism services, and particularly the way I do it. Baptisms are some of the loveliest services that we have in church. They encompass the absolute essence of the Christian faith, even though those who attend them are not always all that aware of that. And at a baptism, there is usually so much love. Well, during the service, we use three symbols and three promises. The first one is the oil of baptism, and with that, the child will be spiritually healed throughout its life, come what may. So that's a lovely promise. And the second one, with the water of baptism, which the child will be forgiven throughout his life and will know forgiveness if he asks for it. And the third symbol is that of a lighted candle. And that candle is a torch. And then I remind everybody in my services, particularly of the villages from which I come, of the darkness of the night. No street lights, nothing at all, just darkness. And the necessity to carry a torch to show the way. I often include a mini joke of the time that my husband went out one night and absolutely fell over the post box because he couldn't see it. It's that dark. But the point is, if people follow the light of Christ, they will not get lost in the dark. Special symbols and very easy to identify with. And so now, maybe you can see the connection. Over the past few weeks, Clay and I have been having very interesting theological discussions. And we've been exploring each other's beliefs and thought processes. And although we range far and wide, one of the conclusions we have come to at this moment is a very, very simple one. And that is, when all is said and done, look to Jesus. He showed us how to live. He was radical and beautiful and human and divine. And most of all, he really cares for us and loves us. And notice I use the present tense. He loves us. Well, in the passage from John, Jesus is desperate to show us the way, to be the torch, the candle, the light. And so often we are blind. We blunder around without a torch. But we know that deep down what Jesus says is true. We know that a plant thrives when it's pruned and is cut back. So do we. We know that a vine bleeds when it has been pruned. So did Jesus. We know that a branch that is cut off and separated from the plant simply withers and dies, and so do we, spiritually. We need our community, and we need to be in touch with God through prayer. And we know, too, that the best thing to do with garden rubbish is to clear it up and burn it. And that's the difficult bit. We do have to let go of the rubbish that we have within us and we've allowed to store up. That's why when we come to Holy Communion, it is so special. Everyone has doubts and fears, and certainly we all have faults and things that we'd like to be rid of. And being here in church helps us to look towards the truth and beauty of Jesus, and as we do so, to shed the rubbish. And most easily, probably, when we say our confession. And then, we're able to share in the body and blood of Christ. It's mystical, and it's a mystery. And nobody really understands. When we come here with all our humanity, Jesus shows us how to live. And yes, of course, we fail time and time again. There are times when we're not kind to each other, even here in this holy place. Yes, there are times when people get upset, and there are times when outsiders can indeed point the finger and accuse us of not practicing what we preach. But we are here, and we are here because we want to be, and we need to be, and we're on a journey which will lead us more and more towards the love of God, which is the center of all our being. So when you come to the altar rail today, if you have any grievance with anyone, leave it at the foot of the cross. Let it be pruned away. It is the greatest gift that we can give to Jesus, and a gross arrogance on our own part if we hang on to it. Jesus died so that we'll have life in all its abundance. He wants us to be in true union, communion with him. The gospel today continues with the words, "I have spoken thus to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy complete." Words that speak of the experience of pain and the knowledge that we all have to suffer to dwell in the valley of the shadow of loss, as Clay so eloquently put it last week. That, in order that our joy may be complete, make no mistake about it, God loves us and wants to share that love with us. But we too have our part to play. Amen.